If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh here on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I am chatting with Tracy Minock-Nuku all about the topic of menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Hey, thank you for having me, Natalie. It's an honor to speak about something that I speak about every day.
So good. And a huge shout out to Marty, who connected us. And I was very intrigued when he initially connected us because he said your website, your Instagram is sexy aging. So I was like, oh yeah, she sounds like someone I want to have on my show.
Yeah, I get that a lot. People are like, oh, I love how you use the word sexy and aging and how did you come to that? But I guess we're going to talk about that, right?
Yeah, we're going to dive right in. For those of you that don't know Tracy, Tracy is the founder of Sexy Aging, a digital resource hub for menopause information. Tracy has over 3 decades of experience in the fitness industry and uses her background in health, fitness, and wellness to support women with the challenges of menopause. Well, yeah, I would love to hear about the backstory of that. So Tracy, you are a podcaster, an author, a menopause health champion. Tell me a little bit more about your personal journey to become those things.
Well, as you've already mentioned, I've spent many years in the fitness industry. So I feel like what I do today perfectly aligns with that experience. But yeah, back in the day, you know, going through university and phys ed school and then working for Les Mills International, I moved overseas pretty early into my career and ended up living overseas and working in the fitness industry for 20 years. And in the back end, I'm fast forwarding quite quickly now, the back end of my time away, my husband and I had started or co-founded our own company, a fitness boutique business called Fire Fitness. And as we were going through that experience, I was also experiencing perimenopause symptoms, but I didn't know that that's what they were at the time. So for example, I would wake up multiple times in the night, sweating, anxious, sore joints, didn't feel like I could recover from workouts, lots of foods that I used to eat, I couldn't eat anymore. And then the anxiety kicked in and I didn't know whether the anxiety was just the fact that we had created a new business or whether I was actually having anxiety, which I'd never experienced in my life. So all these things kind of compounded to about 4 years before I actually saw the word perimenopause and thought, wow, what the heck? Why have we not been told this? And even when I reflect back in my own education, you know, with a woman's body and understanding how the woman's body works, never knowing that the hormonal dysregulation that kicks off the menopause experience, I'd never heard about that. So I was a bit angry, pissed off, and I wanted to talk more about it. And that was the catalyst to starting my own podcast, which is called Sexy Aging. I also wrote about my own experience because I felt that it was cathartic in a way to write down my experience with 35 perimenopause symptoms and align what I was learning about each symptom and how to manage it. So I spent a lot of time in the presence of menopause specialists, and I went and studied further menopause fitness education so that I could really understand my situation. And then that kind of jump-started the whole helping women understand their own bodies, helping them understand how to stay fit and well, helping them understand that menopause is the gateway to aging and that there's actually a lot of things that you can do and adjust to ensure that, you know, the 40% remaining years of your life in post-menopause are good years, healthy years, strong years. And so, you know, have a website and launched a fitness app to support women in menopause. So yeah, that's the fast forward version.
Yeah. Well, what, not a dull moment. That's so impressive. You launched a company and an app. I'd love to start with the gateway to aging because you're right. It's fascinating to me, isn't it? That 4 years went by, you had these symptoms, you didn't know exactly what they were. And a lot of women go through some of these things. Are you saying there are 35 symptoms as such, or you personally had 35 yourself?
Yeah, I'll answer both questions. So according to the International Menopause Society, sort of globally, they recognize 35 symptoms of menopause. There are more than the list that we've discovered over time. And at the time that I was writing about my experience, I'd had 29. And I actually tapped into some of the guests that had been on my podcast to have them share and write about their experiences with the symptoms that I hadn't had. But since the book is now published, I've had the other symptoms as well. And I continue to get random little things that I know are probably linked to, you know, estrogen fluctuations. So, like, I don't think I wrote about heart palpitations. And I had that, you know, like a little bit later, a couple of years after the book was launched. So, it's like, 35 known symptoms. I can say I probably had those plus some now. and for any woman that's out there thinking, oh, you know, like how many symptoms are there? I think what happens is it's a bit like a bingo card, you know. You have a few of those symptoms and then those go away and then some of the other ones pop up on the card. So get ready. It's a roller coaster. It's full of surprises. And you can come through the other end feeling pretty good, actually.
Well, it's a good thing the bingo card doesn't give you all at the same time.
Yeah.
I was chatting with a guest the other day and I was saying, I feel like I've had a bit of an easy ride, but maybe I don't want to speak too soon. I don't know if I'm in peri or menopause. So that's going to be my next question. So if someone is a woman, or maybe they're married to a woman and they're like, how do I know if my wife is going through it? Like, how do they know if it's peri? And peri, I imagine, means small, or menopause.
Hey, your questions are really good. And they're actually asked a lot. So there is that confusion between what's peri and what's meno. Now, menopause is actually just one day, and it's 365 days without a menstrual period. And everything after that is postmenopause. But perimenopause, you said it was small. It's actually the hardest stage for women because it is all.
Well, I was
the
thinking
symptoms.
Like periscope.
Like and little, like, yeah.
Yeah, what is it? I should have studied Latin at school, but yeah.
No, I get where you're coming from, and I can understand why you would think that. But we also liken it to the like puberty, but way worse. So some of the symptoms of perimenopause mirror those that you would experience in puberty. Because there is radical, you know, hormonal fluctuations. And so the perimenopause symptoms, some of the very first symptoms a woman might experience from as early as mid-30s is periods that change. So your regular monthly cycle may change. It might get shorter, longer, heavier, or lighter. So any combination of. And that would be one of the very first symptoms. And then the next one is a change to your sleeping habits or sleeping patterns. Now, this is quite hard to explain because it takes a couple of years before you realize, oh gosh, I haven't slept for like 2 years. And it could be any combination of life things that are happening. And we did say that we're going to talk about the sandwich generation. So at this particular stage of the menopause life cycle, perimenopause is also the time when women are possibly increasing their responsibilities in the workplace. They may have teenagers as well, and their parents might be aging and needing them a little bit more. They may have much higher financial obligations. So there's a lot of things that are impacting on a woman at this stage of life, and she's going through perimenopause. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, thank you for defining that, because I think some people would not have ever even heard the term or known what it meant. The sandwich generation, I would say I'm kind of in the sandwich. I've got half of the bun, but not the whole bun, because my parents are actually really healthy and well. Good. I do have teenagers. Yeah, and I'm definitely in perimenopause. So thank you for the explanation. Mm. And also, I think it's so important to note that, like you said, you know, you don't worry, you will come out stronger. So it's really a fine balance of acknowledging some of these symptoms, or as some of my previous guests like to say, expressions of menopause, while also knowing this is quite a magical time. Can you talk to me about the different perspectives of how we view menopause and the impact that can have?
I believe, and just from my experience being in the menopause space now, there is quite a fear factor associated with being in perimenopause and menopause. I'll just say that. So when women first find out or have a discussion around perimenopause, they often say, oh, wow, it feels really scary or it sounds really scary. And there are parts of it that do feel like it's you're having tough days, for sure. I won't sugarcoat it. But I feel like that comes a lot from not knowing what it is and how to manage it and how to support yourself and not being able to talk about it. So now that we're kind of busting through that and there is a lot more discussion around menopause and how we can support women through this life stage, that removes a little bit more of the fear factor, because a fact is we're all going to go through it. 51% of the world's population is going to go through menopause. One of the things I like to say about menopause is I take the word pause, and pause is a moment in time, a moment in your life where you can reflect on how do you want to live the rest of your amazing life, which is probably 40 up to 50% of your life you still have in postmenopause. So that sort of 8 to 10 years of symptoms is actually a really good time to go, okay, what's working for me? What's not working for me? A lot of the things that you have to change are how you move and what you eat and stress reduction. So that pause moment really does make you think about the things you're going to do to look after yourself. And that for me is a positive. Like, while it doesn't feel positive while you're actually in it, the more that you start to change up the way you move, eat, sleep, and stress reduce, the better things become. Like, you become clearer in your thinking. You become better with your relationships, more empathetic and compassionate. Just a whole lot of things that, you know, you often meet some women who are maybe older, late 50s, 60s, and they seem to be really loving life. They like laugh a lot, or they're always having great conversations. And you feel like if you were a fly in the room and, you know, is that saying a fly on the wall kind of thing, listening into these conversations, you would learn a lot from these people because they really have come through quite a tumultuous time of their life. And now they're really, really comfortable with who they are. I'm at the back end of perimenopause, so I'm feeling like I'm seeing the light and it looks really good ahead. So I can give a little bit of hope for anyone who's like in their perimenopause full experience. It does get better, but you've got to take care of yourself.
Well, let's dive into some of that now. You talked about there's some things we can do to move, eat, sleep, and stress reduce. What are some practical things that our listeners can do? And if these are men, they can share the wisdom with the woman in their life. What can we do to make the journey a little bit more enjoyable?
Yeah, I always start with sleep. Sounds like counterintuitive when you want to be busy and doing stuff and like losing weight and all the things, but sleep actually helps because our hormones are quite dysregulated at this time and it does impact on your sleep. So one of the first things you want to try and do is implement some sleep hygiene tools that help you sleep better, sleep longer, sleep deeper. So one of those things actually is waking up first thing in the morning, getting some sunlight into your eyes, and that helps with your circadian rhythm. So I often say that your best night's sleep starts first thing in the morning. So that would be my first thing with sleep. My second thing would be to reduce your stress, and this goes along with sleep. So doing some meditation or breathing before you go to sleep really helps, but it also helps you to bring down those cortisol levels. And we know that meditation does that. There's so much science that supports it. Journaling, there is, you know, science that supports the concept of writing down positive thoughts because it increases your dopamine, which also helps you sleep better, feel better. So those are the two things around sleep and stress reduction. Then I get on to movement. And the number one thing that a woman should be doing through all stages of life, to be honest, is strength training 2 to 3 times a week. Now, with women that have never done any kind of strength training before, any kind of movement, 10 to 15 minutes a day, just do that. Right. And I come from a fitness background, so I know where you need to be going. But I feel like the fitness professionals are quite hard on people, like, you've got to be doing it like this. And I'm like, well, I know a lot of people who've never exercised in their life. And so how do they get started? So find the thing that lights you up, that when you go, I love doing this and it lifts my heart rate and I feel really good, keep doing that. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. But we know that lean muscle tissue really, really does help support menopause symptoms, and having more of it helps to regulate your insulin, because insulin also impacts on weight gain. So having more lean muscle tissue is going to support that, but it's also going to support your long-term health. We know that people with more lean muscle tissue are healthier generally Okay, so it ticks all the boxes for a few recommended things to support your health long term.
Okay, I'm going to jump in because we're doing a little bit of terminology. Lean muscle tissue. So are you saying that if we do some weights, and I believe for women, it's supposed to be like heavier, not super light and lots, but like heavy and not too many. So talk to me about lean muscle tissue. What is that exactly? How do we get it?
Yeah, so we all have muscle on our bodies, but as we age, we lose that muscle quite rapidly. And losing the muscle becomes a problem because it also decreases your bone density. It also makes it harder to lose weight if you start to change your body composition. So you're losing lean muscle tissue and your body fat is going up. And that's what we see quite commonly in the menopause life stage. So we want to maintain as much lean muscle tissue as possible. And this is really good, healthy tissue on our bodies. You can also build this tissue later in life. So it's irrespective of age, you can get more of it just by lifting weights. And that lean muscle tissue helps us burn fuel. It helps keep our joints strong, keeps our bones strong, keeps our heart healthy, keeps our brain functioning. So that lean muscle tissue is like the gold standard of longevity. What else do you need to know about lean muscle tissue? Okay, I like to liken it like this. It's like a suitcase, right? And you're going to go on holiday. When you open up the suitcase, there's nothing in it. And so the suitcase feels quite light. You can swing it around. And when you pack all your clothes and you close the suitcase and you zip it up, the suitcase remains the same size, but now it's a lot heavier. And so when you try to carry that heavy suitcase, still the same size, down to the Uber, you're sweating. So having that extra lean muscle tissue is likened to a heavier suitcase, although you are technically the same size. Very hard for women to get bigger with, you know, just building lean muscle tissue 2 or 3 times a week. What we ultimately want to do is have a very heavy suitcase that burns a lot of fuel and makes you sweat. That's what we want to do.
Okay. Heavy suitcase, lots of sweat.
Yeah.
Got it.
Burning fuel.
Burning fuel. Yeah. And you know, I've been so inspired. My listeners know I'm obsessed with going to my far infrared hot yoga studio. I'm actually wearing their t-shirt right now. I go there 4, maybe 5 times a week. This is from someone who literally did not step foot in a gym for about 30 years since university, or 25 or however long it's been. But what I love is seeing the diversity of women in that room, shapes and sizes, and everyone's doing their thing and there's music and we're like really excited for each other and we're seeing the results. And so I feel like it's so important. How important is community in helping women to achieve these fitness goals?
So important. Like, we know that the world's longest centenarians, or the people that live the longest centenarians, come from the blue zones. And there is a common factor. The blue zones are parts of the world that have these, you know, lots of old people that are living really healthily. And the common factor is community. So in all of them, they have different ways that they eat, they have different ways that they move, but the common thing that they've said is that they have people around them all the time, or they're part of a community, whether it be a library, a book club, or a knitting club, or a gardening club, or a walking club. So I feel like for women, this is kind of a go-to. Like, we also, women live longer. There is that factor as well, is that we do like to do things in groups. We're social beings. It does elevate your mood, does help support your dopamine, which depresses anxiety, feelings of anxiety. So yeah, I think it's super important, community. In actual fact, I often talk about that, and I didn't mention it before when I gave you the 4 things that I recommend, but community's right up there. And just the ability to speak openly about this quite challenging life stage, having people around you that you can share examples or challenges that you're having. I think it's, it's super important.
So good. I think you're right. You know, so there's a fine balance between being able to speak openly versus like whinging about things. And I don't know, but everyone probably has a friend or knows someone who just loves to, you know, complain. But there's a difference between acknowledging what we're going through versus complaining about it with a negative energy. How much of that, the language we use, and the mindset, how much of that can impact our menopause journey?
Yeah, I think it does. And I feel like we, as women who are experiencing perimenopause symptoms, we might get into that mindset quite quickly before we even realize that we are. And a lot of that has to do with the estrogen. So I just want to let women know it is your hormones. So if you were not really a negative or moaning person before, that could be expected because life does feel more challenging. It does. Your body does hurt. You're not sleeping, you know, so these things that are happening do affect your mindset. One of the ways that I feel like, but it feels kind of woo-woo, but actually being grateful for all the things that are happening, that are good in your life, even during this, you know, challenging life stage, I think it really does help. But so does HRT, hormone replacement therapy. And I'll just say that, you know, for me personally, I am a really positive person. I do a lot of things to maintain a positive mindset. But when I was in the most challenging phase of perimenopause, I started to have quite bad thoughts consistently. I felt like life was a bit grey. That's the way I describe it. Lost the joy, a bit meh, as we say in New Zealand. And I knew that that was something quite wrong and there wasn't a lot of things that I could do that was going to change it that I wasn't already doing. So for me, the next stage was to visit my doctor and to try hormone therapy. And I'm really lucky it worked for me. It works for 80% of women who go on it. So that just changed a lot for me. Like my headspace cleared, my anxiety disappeared, my joint pain went away. And I felt like, okay, I feel more like myself.
Yeah, I think it's so important for people to realize everyone's journey is different. So just because your friend has this particular symptom doesn't mean you're going to have it. And also different things work for different people. Like I know for myself, I'm always going to go the more natural option. However, like I said, I have had a pretty easy ride so far, so I haven't needed things. But I'm more like inflammation, turmeric, you know, happiness, sure. Essential oils. And I think it's really important for people to know that there's different options out there, not just do what your bestie's doing, right?
Yeah, look, I agree with you, Natalie. And I think it's really important to know that as we're having this conversation, it's becoming more open, that I see it as a buffet. Like here are all the things that might help you.
A buffet for the sandwich generation.
Yeah, you just pick and choose. There you go. You just pick and choose the things that are going to work for you. There are obviously a lot of supplements out there that are trying to target this generation. So a lot of women do end up spending money on products and supplements that do not work, have no scientific benefits whatsoever. So just be a little bit careful of that. And that hormones are natural, actually. So a lot of people do see, I mean, you would go to a doctor to get a prescription, but the hormones that you're putting into your body are topping up the hormones that you've lost. So hormone therapy is the natural way to support menopause symptoms. And yeah, it's a buffet. You can try it. You don't have to try it. You can always go off it. No one's holding a gun to your head, you know? So yeah.
Something you mentioned. So if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. Today, I'm talking to Tracy Minock-Nuku. We're talking about menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. What is resonating for you? What have you learned? And maybe reach out to someone in your life if there's some tips here that they might not know about. You can send them the replay later. Something you mentioned, Tracy, was anxiety. And you said that it's something you hadn't had before and suddenly it was happening to you. Interesting. I was coaching a client and not long ago and they mentioned how they're having this anxiety they've never had. And now I'm going to go back to her and say, hey, honey, it might be menopause. So thank you for that. How does that present for people and what can they do about it to really support themselves if they are experiencing anxiety?
I want to speak as a woman in the workplace because for a lot of us, we may start to experience anxiety in the workplace and then it starts to spill over into other aspects of our lives. So for me personally, that was something that was happening. I started to feel anxious that I was forgetful, brain fog, obviously another symptom of menopause. I wasn't able to remember or retain information. I missed meetings and I couldn't remember names of people that I'd met, you know, and as they're coming towards me, I'm racking my brain thinking, okay, what's their name again? And I should know their name. So that increased my level of anxiety. And then just this feeling or this pervading feeling like maybe I'm not cut out for this anymore. And I know a lot of women feel like that. They feel like they've been at their highest performance. And, you know, as they hit their 40th birthday, life begins at 40 and now they're at their highest peak. And then it all feels downhill from there. A lot of that is due to changing hormones. And so, yeah, anxiety presented itself to me mostly in the workplace. just doubting myself, imposter syndrome, call it that, for example. And one of the ways that we are starting to help and support women who are experiencing this is having the conversation at work. So I'm spending quite a bit of time, you know, with businesses, opening up the conversation, running workshops with employees and staff, and really sharing, like, these are the things that are happening to women at this life stage. This is how it affects their bodies, mentally, physically, cognitively, emotionally, relationally, all the things. And of course, career-wise, and here are the things that we can do to support women in this environment. Number one, have this conversation, right? So I feel like that's been a game changer. And a lot of women have reached out to me after a workshop, for example, personally reached out and said, when you shared your story about anxiety and how it affected you in the workplace, I got quite emotional because it felt like you were talking about me. So if any listeners are out there thinking, yeah, that's me, please know it is your hormones and there is lots of things we can do.
I think that's so important. You know, I think back many, many years ago when I wrote my book, which was called If Only They'd Told Me, it's actually about parenting, but it could easily be about menopause. I think a lot of women were like, oh, thank goodness, I'm not the only one. And once again, with menopause and this midlife that ladies are going through, to realize I'm not the only one. So thank you for sharing that story. There will be listeners who also, you know, they're working, they're in the workplace, they're probably experiencing really similar things. It's not you, it's menopause, and there's some things you can do about it, is our message from today.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Before we go to the wrap-up questions, Tracy, is there anything else you wanted to add in about menopause or midlife or the sandwich generation?
Yeah, I just want to empathize with, I mean, now that we've had this conversation, I realize I'm like, wow, it is really heavy and it is really challenging, but I feel like it brings us through to be quite powerful in our older years. And I want for women to sort of think about all the things that they'd always wanted to do and realize that it's still achievable. This is like a little blip, and it also does help you prioritize what's really important in your life, including relationships. So I just wanted to say, like, I really empathize with women that are actually going through perimenopause, especially if you haven't realized it yet, and that you will come through it and it will be amazing. And there's lots of people that want to talk about it now. So, yeah.
Lovely. So true. Yep. So if you want to talk about it, you can get, we're more than happy to have that dialogue. In a minute, I'm going to ask Tracy how we can reach out to her. But first, I'm going to ask you the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, Tracy, in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Natalie. So I personally feel like I am doing the best that I can right now. That's another thing that I've realized as I'm getting older. I always make these lengthy, long lists of all these things I want to do and all these people I want to reach out to and partner with and collab with, and then realize there's a finite amount of time and that life is precious other than work, work, work. So upping my brave is staying close to my values and also, like, I have dreams around what I want to achieve in this space with menopause, and I'm just going to stay true to my values and just keep ticking away. So it's probably not like a gung-ho answer for you around, I'm going to chase this or that, but I feel like I'm already on my path and realizing that the path is moving forward. I'm taking steps forward every single day in little ways as well. That's me being brave.
I love that. I think that's such a great message for everybody because, you know, to be able to have the courage to enjoy the journey, right?
Yeah, I'm
enjoying
the journey.
To have the courage to not be like putting masses of pressure on yourself to achieve X, Y, Z. I mean, you, I think the way that you and I connected is Marty Gibson, who's also a radio host on Marie's show, and he does also the panel as well. Your kids do boxing together, is that right?
Yeah, our boys do boxing classes, yeah. And then we're the parents that sit there and just chat. So there's a few parents and we get together and just chat about life. And yeah, that's how we have this conversation.
But like enjoying the stage that your kids are at and not putting these massive, you know, goals in your business on yourself. I think it's a beautiful balance of enjoying the journey. So that is definitely upping your brave. All right. How can people reach out? How can they follow you on the socials? How can they find you on a website?
So everything is Sexy Aging, and aging was with an E. So I have a website, www.sexyaging.com. And yeah, so you'll be able to find the podcast, the fitness app, like everything's there. And you can also contact me directly there. There's a chat function that you can reach out.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Very important. The first time I emailed you, I think I misspelled it. So sexyaging.com. Is this correct? SexyAging.com. Yeah,
correct.
I think I forgot the E. Thank you. What else is coming up for you in the remaining months of 24? What about 2025? Holidays, business things?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still ticking away with my core business now, which is the fitness app, because it's a subscription-based business. So I want to grow that as much as possible. I've managed to personalize it for subscribers. So it's not like you're one product, one program for all. Like, it's really personalized, the nutrition, the workouts and everything. So I'm just going to keep working on that, the marketing and the communicating and reaching a wider audience. That's my sort of long-term thing.
Is that for midlife women or is it for anybody?
Yeah, for midlife women. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's specifically for women in midlife, right up to about 60. So it's 40 to 60 bandwidth. And it's, so all the science and everything behind it is there. And then I also run midlife women's retreats in Bali. So we had our first one this year. I've got a couple next year because they did really well. And that is just such a heart moment for me to be in the presence of other women that are sharing and open and have managed to extract themselves from the day to day and come and spend some time with me. I partner with another woman and we sort of cover off a whole lot of topics to help women in this life stage. So that's coming up next year. Looking forward to that. Always look forward to traveling. Yeah.
Pack your suitcase, ladies.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Tracy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
No, I just thank you for the opportunity, Natalie. It was great talking to you. And thank you for tackling this topic. I think we're busting through some taboos. This could be one of the last ones. So yay. Go us.
Amazing. I know. It's so good. Thank you so much, Tracy, for sharing your wisdom with us today. I'm so impressed that you made your own app. You guys definitely go and check it out. And please tell your friends. We want to increase the dialogue all around menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.